Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
When Amnesty International released its latest global review on the death penalty, it made for grim reading. Excluding China, states around the world executed 1,032 people in 2016. Amnesty says that China executed more than all of those countries put together. Capital punishment, meanwhile, has become less common in the United States. Fewer states are putting condemned inmates to death, public support for executions is declining, and authorities are struggling to find the drugs used for lethal injections amid a shortage spurred in part by drug makers' objections to the death penalty. Amnesty Australia's Individuals at Risk program coordinator is Rose Kulak.
Well, it's the ultimate cruel, degrading punishment and ultimately takes somebody's life. It's not something that should be on any country's books in terms of a punishment. The world is moving away from it. When Amnesty started campaigning 40 years ago, there were 16 countries in the world that abolished the death penalty. 40 years later, we've got just over 100 countries now that have abolished it. There's 104. Okay. It is, and then there's 141 countries that are abolitionist in practice, and that basically means that there's still almost another 40 countries on top of the 100 who have completely abolished it that really don't use the death penalty anymore, and they're making moves to genuinely move away from the death penalty.
Well, so, my position, I ought to make it clear, I'm very much opposed to the death penalty, and I think it would be a wonderful thing if we could have all countries moving to some other type of penalty. But now I'll have to argue why I think that's the case. I believe that human life is so sacred that nobody should take it, and even someone who's taken a life, therefore we shouldn't lower ourselves to that level by taking their life in retribution. Adding to that, it seems to me that you've got this scenario where we can't always be really sure that even in the case where someone has been through a just system, and there are some arguments about that, that they did do what they were accused of doing. And you've documented a number of cases where, in fact, innocent people have been executed.
Families and friends never give up, even if someone's been executed and they knew that it was the wrong thing, that they should never have even been sentenced. There's an example of a young man who in Nishubin in China who was executed in 1995. In 2016, last year, his name was cleared. But, you know, for him, that was 21 years too late. I mean, and that's the reality of what we face in terms of executing but this also does happen.
Well, let's say that we're not as sure about the justice system in places like China and many of the other countries that have the death penalty in place, but we are pretty sure of it in the United States. We would say, we would hold that up as a model of a Western democracy. What's the situation in the United States? Are they still executing innocent people?
The United States is a bit of a shock that, like you say, it's a global leader and it's still an executioner. They, even though on our records they executed the fewest people last year, but they're still definitely executing. The question of innocence or guilt doesn't come into it from my point of view, because from Amnesty's point of view.
Yes, fair enough.
We shouldn't be executing is the bottom line. And we recently saw an attempted spate of executions in Arkansas where simply the reason that triggered this after almost a decade of no executions in Arkansas was the expiry of one of the three drugs that are used in the lethal combination in their executions. And that all was due to expire on the 30th of April. And there was eight people scheduled. Not all of them were executed. Some of them were executed.
I think they executed five in 47 minutes.
That's just the callousness, just the, I have trouble even comprehending how that could, on a personal level, how that could drive a government to justify execution.
Well, this really does go to your issue about cruel punishment and inhumane. In the case of the United States, and it's worth focusing on that, why did they have to rush? Well, because their drugs were reaching their use-by date. which, as you say, seems a bizarre reason to hasten someone's death, because you're then denying them other opportunities for appeal and so on. But why is that happening anyway? Well, it's because drug companies no longer want to put their name to the drugs, the lethal cocktail that executes people, because those drug companies have realised that public opinion is swinging around against that. Now, that ought to tell the people in charge of the American democracy where public opinion is going.
Yes, and quite rightly. So that is something that there is a change in the US, that these things are taking time, and it's state by state. That's where the sentencing is happening, and that's where the executions happen. So there's a handful of states that are really quite prolific in terms of their executing and the sizes of their death row. California has the largest death row in the United States, even though they haven't been executing recently.
Now, there's somebody on death row in Alabama, and he's been there for 30 years.
Yes, and around the world, people have been there for decades. The longest death row serving prisoner was Hakamada Awa in Japan. He'd been on death row for almost 45 years, but it's particularly bad because he spent most of that time in solitary confinement.
Oh, my word.
Well, it's he actually got released. It's pending an appeal. When one of the lower courts finally said, to put it in layperson's terms, how much can you put this man through? And while you decide what you want to do with him, why don't you just let him go? Again, in terms of whether someone's guilty or innocent, I mean, this was a crime that was committed decades ago, where DNA was not really something that you could use as such, because we've only had that technology recently. But it was evident from the start that the clothes that they said he had, that he had wore during this alleged murder, everyone could see that they were much too small for him. He was a large man, and these clothes were much too small. So there was, from the start, there was things that just didn't make sense. But to spend your life, like 45 years, mainly in solitary confinement, on death row,
yes,
where in Japan you get very little notice if you are to be executed, it's unimaginable.
Rose, recently Amnesty has issued an alert to be concerned about the Philippines. What's happening there?
Towards the end of last year, there was rumours that there was an attempt to bring back the death penalty. Now, once a country abolishes the death penalty, and if they sign on to the second optional protocol to the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, it really binds them. There's no get-out clause once you've gone down that path of abolition. And yet in the Philippines, we saw at the beginning of this year that the lower house had already passed legislation to bring back the death penalty, much to the amazement and shock to every anti-death penalty campaigner around the world. And now it's waiting to go into the upper house, into the Senate. But there's some resistance there. It's been a very turbulent piece of legislation, a lot of debate around it, but in a predominantly Catholic country, it's such a shocking move. Whether, you know, in one country or anywhere in the world, it's just something that doesn't happen.
Yes. Well, just finally, let's come back to this question then of the death penalty itself. One of the reasons to oppose it is this idea that nobody is incapable of being redeemed, that nobody is incapable of their life being turned around. But are there some crimes that are so heinous, so against the cause of humanity itself, that a death penalty would ever be appropriate in Amnesty's view?
The one-word answer to that is no. You can, if you're opposing the death penalty, you have to oppose it for everything. Of course, there are crimes that shock and appall and shake people to their core.
So you think about deliberate acts of terrorism, for instance.
One of the issues that we're facing, and why we've seen a rise in executions, especially the previous year in 2015, which was the highest on record for the number of executions, the highest in 25 years,
really?
Wow. It's because governments have now using terrorism, well, the threat of terrorism or the perceived threat of terrorism as a reason to sentence and execute people. But what we're finding is that it's not really it's for other issues, and it's quite often to...
So you're saying that not everything that's called terrorism is actually terrorism?
Well, you know, there's no real definition for what is terrorism. We all have a bit of a definition in our heads. But in terms of what it actually is, it's been used against people, people who speak out, people who, you know, rock the boat a bit because they want to bring out human rights issues. They're the people that are then in the sights of some governments that still have the death penalty.
Where do you look for hope in this? There are some hopeful numbers here.
The hope is that it's actually a movement of people across the world that believe that the death penalty should be gone. And like I was saying, if you look back over 40 years, because you need a little bit of you need a bit of perspective.
Yes.
We all come and go in terms of in terms of long-term campaigns.
Yes.
But like I was saying, in 1977, there was only 16 countries that had abolished it, and now we're looking at 104, with about 141 countries in total that just don't use the death penalty at all, or it's not on their books. That's what gives me hope. And every year that number is climbing. Like last year we saw the Benin and Nauru abolish the death penalty completely out of their laws. So every year it just climbs up a little bit more. So that's what gives me hope. It gives me hope because I work with a lot of people that also believe against the death penalty, and I can see people speaking out against it in the media.
Yeah.
It's online. It's a movement.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you, Stephen.